Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The following podcast may contain discussions supported by science that may be considered dangerous to some listeners and conspiracy theorists. Discretion is advised.
The Three Down Greencast is brought to you by Lucky Bastard Distillers, Saskatchewan's premier distillery, and by the Pilot Bowens Brewing Company, brewed in the heart of Regina.
Welcome to the Three Down Greencast. You are listening to the internet's only Ask John Anything podcast. I am Joel Gaslin with John Fraser, as usual. As yes, it is our annual tradition of the writer's first bye week of the year, our sort of attempt at a mailbag, which generally never involves football questions. But in this case, actually, I don't think there's actually any football. Barely anything even sports-related, quite frankly, this time around.
Okay, that is fantastic. Okay, those are my favorite episodes.
Yeah, I don't remember all the questions off the top of my head, but nothing... Well, one was kind of sportsy, but in a way that I think you will enjoy.
Okay, fantastic.
I'll leave it at that, because I got a few that I know you don't know about.
Okay, that's... And I mean, there's one that I think there's really only one that I know about. I intentionally didn't go on Blue Sky this week. Okay. And I sent you the one that was...
Because we are very professional, can you resend me that?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because that was on my burner phone for the week while I was waiting for my new
phone. Oh, right.
So I don't have it on my new phone.
Oh, right.
I was looking today, I was like, oh, shoot, and then I meant to mention it before we started recording, then I forgot. So I'm just going to ask you straight up right now, too, if you could just resend me that question.
That is fair. I am literally copying it. And the worst part was I was golfing with... I was golfing with the one and only Dave Stadnick last night, and I said, I'm like, out of all the questions, like, this is actually a pretty good question. I can't wait to break into it. It's the only one I know, so I have just resent it to you. So while you check your phone, though, Joel, I texted you earlier today, and I said, don't worry about the opening. I've got it this week, and I refuse to tell you anything till we were recording.
Yes, and for some reason, I trusted you.
Which, I mean, in fairness, I think your trust in me will be rewarded here. Okay.
Okay.
So sitting at work today, I get a text from Grandpa Ted, one of the seven listeners, right? One of the other seven listeners who he's told us about, Ray, who is from Texas, who whenever we're looking at our analytics. So Ray is a faithful listener. First off, shout out Ray. And of course, Grandpa Ted. Ray's in Rolo right now. Okay. He's actually going to go to the Rider game with Grandpa Ted, some other folks. I'm going to send you Grandpa Ted's info. They want to meet up with you at the game. So I'll send you that info. They just want a quick hello and a photo op. But he has smuggled something across the border for us.
Oh?
Malort.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes. He has smuggled the bottle across the border. And the reason I need to give you Grandpa Ted's info is he's like, well, I'll bring the bottle back to Saskatoon so you can have it all. I'm like, well, okay, I kind of want that. Because, again, I'm greedy, and I like the taste of hard liquor more than you. But I'm like,
I don't know if that's entirely fair, but okay, yeah.
But,
entirely true, but yes.
True. So, but now I'm thinking, I'll give you Grandpa Ted's phone number, you can meet up outside Mosaic Stadium, and you can be the force to try Malort, and then I will try it live on the podcast.
Okay. We'll see if that's possible.
Okay.
Okay, Friday, if it's not, Friday is a tough day for me with having to go straight from work to there and the whole thing. So
that's fair. Okay, well, if it's not possible, they still want to meet you. We're going to arrange that. But yes, we have one of our seven listeners has, in fact, done some smuggling across the border just for the two of us. And I could not be happier. Like guys, that's awesome. Like, this was an offshoot of something we were talking about and something we've talked about on Sickos. But
and here's the thing. If I don't get to try some before the game on Friday,
yes,
you have to at least save some for some time when we meet up again.
Okay, I will.
From all accounts, this doesn't sound like a drink you're going to be able to drink in a few nights very quickly. So
no. And I mean, as well too, Ray and Ted have basically Googled it and said that Max should be near me when I try this in case he needs to get me to the toilet. So,
probably true in a lot of circumstances.
That's fair.
But maybe not for the ways they are currently thinking.
No, not at all. So
rest in peace, CN toilet.
And actually, weirdly, my own bathroom toilet that right before we did this. I don't know what the hell hit me, but I was just so excited about Malort and to finally try it.
Absolutely.
I
don't plan on buying like any bourbon or trying a lot, any sort of American things for the next God knows how long.
Yes.
I'm willing to make an exception for Malort, to be fair.
Well, something that was smuggled across the border. Yeah. Like again, this is just like we make the jokes about only having seven listeners, but
I think we have to alert the sickos about this too. I don't think there's any question.
No, no, no. I was going to DM them about this. I was going to send them the screenshots from Ted, but I'm like, okay, I can't have this getting back to Gasson until I tell them live on air tonight. So
fair enough.
There we are. We will soon be trying. We'll soon have our official review of Malort.
It's like a monumental moment in this podcast. Like, we would probably be in a small group of Canadians, period, especially Canadian podcasters that have probably tried this stuff. Like, realistically.
I feel like you could open the episode from now on with, you know, the internet's only Malort podcast. Well, I guess.
I mean, at this point, they should probably just sponsor us. Like, we always have room for more brew sponsors.
Yes, we do, actually.
If you're completely unaware, because I know this episode does draw a few more listeners from not necessarily the football background.
Yes.
Malort is allegedly unique, shall we say. Neither of us have had the opportunity to try it yet. Just Google it and you will probably understand.
And we talked about this like 2 years ago, randomly, about after the famous Rum Nog incident, which, because I don't think we have a Three Down Greencast Wikipedia. Oh, my goodness. Whoever's out there, if you are, okay, you're like the
number
one. If you're
that big
of
a sicko, then yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We talked about coming off the Rum Nog incident that we need, and I think it was the sickos or somebody. It might have been Ted that brought up Malort, so I'm looking forward to finally giving it a try live on the podcast, because I am a grown-ass man.
Absolutely. It can't be worse than the Mayo Nog, right?
Well, see, the thing that worries me, though, is because the Mayo Nog for a minute was good, and then it was when you got to the coagulated like egg into your mouth, and then, like, in fairness, I used really shitty cooking bourbon. I didn't even use, like, Jim Beam.
Yeah. So it was But here's the difference this time is, I think you're coming in with the expectations of just how bad Malort is going to be.
That's fair.
Like, you were expecting that Max is going to have to drag you to the toilet, right?
Yes, 100%.
And, like, Mayo Nog, you're like, okay, it's bourbon or rum, whatever you used, and it's mayonnaise, like... Those two things are good individually. It can't be that bad, right?
No, fair. No, that's fair, right? I think the spiced rum almost saved it, and then it was the cheap bourbon and the mayo that threw it off. So I would say drag me by my hair, but of course, as you've seen on Instagram, I no longer have hair.
I remember today
up.
That you shaved your head. And I know there's been a lot of memes between me, you, and Greg about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's still something on the tip of my tongue or the back of my head that you look like right now, and I just can't picture. I can't place it right now, and it hasn't been any of the memes we've shared. So if you've seen John's shared Instagram story, because here's the thing. If you follow John on Instagram and he suddenly has a new story, you know it's either coming from A, one of the sports teams in Saskatoon, or B, N's Toyota. He's never posting any of his own original content. It is something else.
That,
from one of his many workplaces up there.
That's I always laughed. I got three jobs and a podcast and three kids. I'm not busy at all. Or I'm trying to win something. Like, let's face it. The other one is like, I get tagged in the giveaways. And, like, who doesn't try to win some free golf from time to time, right?
I suppose, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe enjoy some of Malort on the golf course.
If you were coming to the Stadnik this year, I mean, I think that would have to make its way down and would have to be welcomed for anyone to try.
I'm not ruling myself 100% out. Mm-hmm. I did relinquish possession of the kernel.
Okay. Yeah.
Just in case.
Right, because I was supposed to take that home after the Saskatoon men's and completely forgot.
Because I was at
45%, so.
45%? Fuck, by the time the men's is over, we're at like 10%, dude. Like, there's just no functionality, especially this year. Especially when we don't play on Sunday
and just...
Oh.
Yeah.
Just Howe's pulled pork and got hammered with Seretsky and Price. Yeah, that was a... Yeah, great times. Great times, indeed.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Great times are still ahead. Potentially, yes. Because this wants to be posted on 3downnation.com, also for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. They are now, even though they didn't play last week, on the 3downnation power rankings, the number one team, and the only undefeated team remaining in the CFL. And they'll play the Calgary Stampeders this week in what surprisingly might be an interesting football game.
Right after we reverse Fraser curse the Stampeders by basically coming out and say, hey, they're going to be the only bad team this year, and then they are apparently good.
We'll see. There's a lot of season left, but they are certainly showing promising signs. And, hey, that's good for the CFL. If everyone's good, that's good, right? So,
yes.
Certainly no qualms about that. So, plenty of questions to get to. Plenty of queries for John to answer. But as always, before we get to all that, John, for the Pile of Bones Brewing Company, what is in the glass this week?
Okay. So, as it is, Ask John Anything, I do lean into a heavier buzz.
Yeah.
I'm on to my second double white IPA with the possibility of a third coming up. As I only had a little bit of delicious Lucky Bastard gin left in my fridge, which I've already finished. So I've already had Pile of Bones double white. I've had a bit of LB gin, and I'm on my second Pile of Bones double white. I got a lot going on this week. I kind of need to shut my brain off and relax with you tonight.
I'm trying to think of what kind of sandwich that would be.
What, a me and you sandwich?
No. The, like, double white gin, double white.
Oh!
Yeah.
It would be a... I don't know, but there's probably a foreign film on it.
A little bit of foreshadowing there. For me...
Oh, yes! Yes! Let's go! Foreign film talk!
No, not foreign film, sandwich talk.
Oh!
The foreign films did not come up.
Ah!
For me, in honor of Ask John Anything, I have one of Jonathan Q. Fraser's most favorite beers in the whole wide world. That would be the Lake of the Woods Brewing Company's Forgotten Lake Blueberry Ale.
Oh, so good.
It's strong. Isn't it just... It's blueberry-ish. Yes. It's a good hot beer day like it is today. I picked up the Lake Time Mix Pack, I believe they call it, from work the other day. All the beers in it delicious. Even the light lager with some extra hop in it is nice. The Kolsch, so really nice and drinkable, and of course, double IPA, always delicious, a really, really solid mix pack at the same price as you'll find a lot of local mix eights packs, which is nice, which can be difficult for the stuff we bring in from other provinces. Hopefully that's changing a bit here with the way the federal government's going, but yeah, really, really solid beers all around, and I don't know if it's all of them, but I got a sticker in mine, so... Cool.
Yeah, actually, I got one in mine as well. I got a Nautical Disaster sticker that I think is actually on the back of my laptop. But I've always talked about how outside of the Saskatchewan breweries, Lake of the Woods is my favorite. Yeah. And
admittedly, I did forget that this beer was 7.1% until I opened it. I mean, I'll be fine. But at first, I was like, do I want the Nautical Disaster? I'm like, nah, it's maybe a little strong for a Tuesday night. And then I cracked this open. I'm like, oh, yeah, this one is too. Oh, well.
That's the thing with that mix bag. It'll get you drunk.
Yeah, it did on Saturday at Ribfest, that's for sure.
Nice.
All right. First question.
Okay.
From Enema Bag Jones.
Oh.
Legitimately don't know who this is.
Okay.
They look like a Rider fan on Twitter, on Blue Sky, sorry. Of course I have it.
Okay.
A few followers that we don't each have on any comments, so...
Wow,
somehow,
a new question.
There's a number of questions from new people this time, which is
wow, that's awesome. Okay, let's go.
I believe the sicko's getting in on the retweet or quote tweet or someone really helped. So
yeah, 100%.
Hey John, we all know how you feel about the Moose Jaw Miller Express brandy. No. You're probably going to open Google for this. But what about the new Eerie Moon Mammoth rebrand courtesy of John Oliver? I think it rules. My t-shirt is in the mail and I way overpaid, so I need some validation.
Okay,
I've heard about this, but I haven't actually seen it.
I love this. Okay. See, the thing is with the Miller Express, it is like legitimately just a shitty logo.
Yeah.
Right? And apparently the board is leaning into it. Like, I like fun logos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the Saskatoon Berries, what they did, and I think it's a big part of their success. I'm looking right now at the moon mammoths. It's literally a purple mammoth
on the moon
with a space helmet. I absolutely love this. I love fun logos. The kids are going to love it. I want a t-shirt as well. The purple color scheme, I think, is really good for baseball these days. And I love John Oliver. I have not seen... I will admit, I love the photo of John Oliver hugging the mascot that man looks like he's just so full of joy. The logos, moon mammoths. The jersey that I'm seeing right here doesn't have the mammoth on it. It just has moon mammoths.
Mm.
That... not great. The lunar shoulders, okay, but no, moon mammoths, 10 out of 10 for the logo, for the mascot, 6 out of 10 for the jersey. Get your purple mammoth on the jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
That is really good. I think I vaguely heard about John Oliver doing this. Like that, I think when I was at one of my friends' places in Ottawa, I watched one of the episodes, and I think they were like teasing that this was coming, or he was like pitching it. It was basically, I think the team was open to a complete rebrand, but John was like, no, you know, I will do it, but you have absolutely no say and you have to accept what we do.
Which is peak John Oliver, yeah. Right? Like,
yeah, and frankly, they knocked it out of the park.
No, 100% they
did. Like, it looks great. And and this is like very on trend and like vibing with how sort of getting it minor league baseball is these days.
Yes, 100%.
Like, they are going pure fun and chaos in a way that baseball can, but Major League Baseball just won't.
No, certainly. Like, and that's why, again, part of my hate for the Miller Express logo, like, there's another team called the Cactus City, or the Energy City Cactus Rats. Mm-hmm. It's Edmonton. None of it makes any sense, but I'm like, okay, like, I've never heard...
There's that Pickles team that John Ryan owns, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you've got... It's cool. You're embracing the dumb. And like, I look at Saskatoon Berries merchandise and I'm looking at Moon Mammoth's merchandise right now. You see it everywhere in Saskatoon. It actually, honest to God, Joel, you see it on kids more than Rider merch.
Yeah. I mean, I see it down here.
Yeah.
I see it down here. And like, the Regina Red Sox exist. So.
Right, exactly. Okay. Moon Mammoth's 10 out of 10 on the logo. The jersey, I wish the mammoth was on it.
But it does seem like Enema Bag Jones, if that's your real name, did buy a t-shirt, not the jersey, though. So
Okay. If you bought the t-shirt...
Because he was looking for validations, or they were looking for t-shirt validation for the purchase for the t-shirt.
No, t-shirt, yeah, great purchase. I would, like, I'm borderline, and, like, the Canadian dollar sucks right now, mm-hmm. and I want to give America no money. I'm borderline on buying one of these. They're just so good.
Mm-hmm. Are there, like, Chinese knockoffs of minor league baseball outfits?
there might be. They'll start shipping on July the 19th. We might be spending some money on this here podcast tonight.
So you're gonna be wearing a Moon Mammoth t-shirt while drinking your Malort. You're just becoming an American. God damn it.
America. I mean allegedly my great great grandfather's Al Capone, so I have some American to me. International checkout. I'm scared at what this could be. Okay, I'm gonna keep looking. Hit me with the next one.
All right. Sticking to Blue Sky.
Oh, it's $87 when shipped.
That's almost as expensive as something at the Rider store.
Okay, the shirt is 40 Canadian.
Yeah.
Shipping and handling is $37.76.
Yeah, it sounds about
tariffs
right.
Are $10.
Yeah.
It is $86.96. You know what? Hey, great shirt. I'm still a little cheap.
Yeah, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. Whew. That's one of those things where if, like, you know someone who lives in the States, maybe ship it to their Harrison house and have them mail it to you.
Well, we do need guys, so.
All right. From I'm Just Dan. This looks to be a Sicko's follower.
Okay.
John, how's your Tahoe? That's a, I don't know if you understand that reference. It's okay.
It's
a full cast thing. Anyway, I started following the Riders back when Macho Harris was the only Virginia Tech player in the CFL. I wonder if you have any thoughts or memories of his time in Saskatchewan. Someone did not listen to us then, obviously.
No. Neither of us were big Macho fans, but I remember Macho Harris. He was on the teams when you and I both used to cover the team.
Correct.
I remember him being a very good interview.
He was okay, yeah.
Yeah, I remember him being like one of the kind of like the go-to defensive guys you could talk to. He was not great on the field, but it seemed like he was basically your defensive version of the veteran third-string quarterback that's highly likable.
He was definitely a locker room glue guy. There's no question about that.
Right? Like he wasn't the best of the field, locker room glue guy. I remember talking to him a few times. I like the guy. We definitely, if you go way back in the archive, we didn't necessarily like his play on the field, especially near the end. But no, every action interaction I had with Macho, it was great. And anybody that can make me make Macho Man Randy Savage references on the pod is a 10 out of 10. So he does get that nod for that.
I believe he still lives in Regina. I don't know that for sure.
Really?
It's been a number of years, but I did play dodgeball against them a few seasons.
No way!
Yep. He was on one of the teams, and unsurprisingly, he was, like, by far the best athlete on the court.
Well, no shit.
Like, okay, at a professional football level, the guy dropped some easy interceptions. He did not drop,
I
think.
Hands of stone. Like, the guy could cover anybody, but he couldn't catch a cold.
Amateur dodgeball, you could not throw a single ball at him or else he would catch it, so...
Well, clearly the stakes are so much higher in amateur dodgeball that you have to.
Yeah. I know. I mean, the opposition obviously isn't nearly as good, but yeah.
No. Okay. Are you like, and this is now becoming Ask Joel Anything, but I feel like this is a deserved pivot. When you saw Macho Harris out there, were you like intimidated? You're like, holy shit, there's a professional athlete playing amateur dodgeball against me?
No, because I knew him. So I wasn't. No.
That's fair.
That's fair. Some of the people on the team were a little put off by it. Because he was just that good, and there was I don't even want to say a bit of an attitude at times towards how good he was, but like it was earned. Like he was that good. So,
well, 100%. Like a pro athlete playing a bunch of guys that like beer and football. So I forgot he actually played a season for the Bombers too.
Did he? Wow, I completely forgot about that too.
He did. Yeah, 2016. He played 1 year for the Bombers.
Who knew?
So macho man.
All right.
Dodgeball legend. Macho
Absolutely.
Harris.
Regina Rec League dodgeball legend. Yeah. I haven't seen him since, I believe, the one or two seasons we played against him.
Well, he didn't
pop
up.
So I don't honestly know if he's still here or not.
Well, he didn't pop up as a realtor, a car salesman, or an insurance broker in Saskatchewan. So I'm assuming he's headed home.
I believe he was with his partner was like was a fairly significant soccer player, if I remember correctly.
Okay. That would make sense.
So maybe her career took them somewhere else.
It's true. But, because if not, you know you'd see Macho Harris Realty right now.
I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Or Macho Harris at Dodge or something.
Maybe. Would ever work there.
Oh, God. All right.
From longtime friend of the show, Jacques Cartier.
Yes.
Let's really dive into the core questions of our existence here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What is the ultimate sandwich? See?
Oh.
See what I did there? See the foreshadowing earlier?
No, I did. Okay. I'm going to say it's the clubhouse. Like, by far. Like, but it has to be a well-done clubhouse, okay? You can't cheap out with, like, your turkey being, like, your chicken or turkey being sandwich meat. It has to be actual chicken or turkey. It needs to be basically
technically, it doesn't have to be chicken to be a club. Like, that is what the C stands for.
I've seen some with, you know, turkey. It's a viable, any kind of poultry really kind of works. But
flavor wise, sure. But I mean, if you really want to get like snooty food rules guy.
Right. But it also has to be, see, the tricky part with the club is you have to make it so you can take everything in on one bite. So it can't be too thick. So it can't be like comically big, but there's an art to it, right? You have the real chicken breast, you get your lettuce, your bacon. It needs almost, and like, I'm not a Miracle Whip guy,
but a club sandwich. Be real. I generally always prefer real mayonnaise.
Right. But on a club sandwich, I want Miracle Whip. It's just that little bit of that little bit of acidity from the vinegar in the Miracle Whip combined with the saltiness of the bacon, the savoriness of the chicken with a little bit of tomato in there. A good club sandwich is the ultimate sandwich. And I'm not talking your Subway Turkey Bacon Club. I'm talking like, this is actually something that
Subway can be the best sandwich of all time.
Oh, God, no. This is something that a lot of like small town bars do really well. I remember, I can't remember the place in Moosomin, but it's like we would go there for Hilltops games.
I'm sure Greg will tell us in like 30 seconds after he listens to this.
100%. But it's like one of the two hotels in Moosomin. You go in there and like we're talking, this is your typical Saskatchewan small town bar with VLTs, beat up carpet, red vinyl seats. Yet? I don't think he has. It's a long way from Saskatoon. I should recommend it to him once I find out which one it is.
Yeah.
But we would, like, my fat ass as the broadcaster and the coaching staff would walk a solid, like, kilometer and a half from where they practice Ooh. On our way to Winnipeg
Yeah.
to this place just for the club sandwich with some crinkle fries, a little bit of seasoning salt. The toast was perfect. Little Miracle Whip. It is, like... It's like that Homelander meme of everything was perfect down to the last minute detail. And it's a staple of small town bars. And it is just something I go to when I'm in a small town bar. I'm like, a cheeseburger is a cheeseburger.
Well, I mean, you can get into an argument as to whether a cheeseburger is a sandwich, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Right. And a hot dog is a taco. We've already determined that.
Yeah.
But yeah, club sandwich. Cannot go wrong. Get it at your local joint because that's usually
when it's
the best
done well.
To
you cannot go wrong, and it's very easy to get wrong.
Oh, it is, and I mean, like I said, like using sandwich meat.
Yeah, well, using sandwich meat or very easily not cooking chicken properly.
Right. Or yeah, that's fair
because it is extremely easy to way overcook it, and suddenly it's just not good.
Mm-hmm. But you also need to cook it that the chicken is not leaking juice. It's very like there's a very fine line on the chicken that you want. You don't want sawdust chicken, but you also don't want juicy leaking chicken, right? Because
and, sounds and like a thing toaster... I would use my sous vide for then.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. I would sous vide it to like just below well. Slice it up nice and thin. Some really crispy bacon, fresh lettuce, a good tomato, like. I'm so full of sausage and pierogies that I just want a club sandwich right now.
I think you're getting to the core for me, what is like the ultimate sandwich, and that's simply a BLT.
Okay, a BLT's up there.
Like, is it so simple? And like, the best food really is just that simple because it's not hiding behind all kinds of bells. Like, don't get me wrong, I love lots of sandwiches with all kinds of bells and whistles and, you know, all the fanciest sausage and crunchiest things and whatever you can find. Like, that's all delicious. But at the end of the day, good food is made with, like, just simple food made really well. And, like, bacon, lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, done. Perfect.
Have you ever put, like, a runny egg on your BLT?
Yeah, I have, but then that's called a breakfast sandwich.
therein lies the complication. That's why
is also a delicious ultimate sandwich. Like, no question.
Yes. I still, to me, like the club. Like the club with just some nice chicken. You get all that flavor in there. I like adding an egg to anything. When I make smash burgers, I add an egg. Like, but no, give me a good club sandwich. The ultimate sandwich cannot be beat.
Fair enough. I think we're pretty close to agreement there, but not like all the way there.
We're basically like, 100%.
Friends, we're like close cousins sandwich like here, basically.
Not the kind of close cousins you see in foreign films, though.
No. Not at all. From there, we're going to go on to like our one like sort of serious question.
Okay.
It's from Bruce.
Okay.
Hey, John, this is the one you know about.
Yes.
I had a question for the Greencast. If you or Joel had any advice for someone like me who is looking to get into sports broadcasting or sports writing, what would it be? I'm still in high school. Thanks. Number one, If you're in high school, you probably should not be listening to us. We are making you dumber.
Yeah, you're too smart for us already.
Way
Bruce.
Too smart. You're still learning things and remembering things.
Right. Your mind has been corrupted. He's even interacted with Dave. Dave and I were talking about this on the golf course last night. I know, right? The number one piece of advice I would give is, and I DM'd this to you, Bruce, and I know you and I had a short conversation. There's two pieces. There's first, I'm going to be positive, and then I'm also going to be negative at the end of this. Volunteer. Take any gig you can at the beginning, right? Like, I'm at a position now that I've been doing this since I was 18 years old, that I can be selective with what I want to do, right?
Sure doesn't seem could
like I... Right? But I mean, like, in all seriousness, do I want to give up a Friday night with my family to call a Husky hockey game for $40? No, right? I'm past that point, right? The Rush, the Rattlers, Barry's Blades, they treat me really well. The pay is there. And again, for me, it's more about the treatment, right? Like all of those organizations are top-class organizations. And I have the ability to pick and choose. When you're first getting in, you don't. You are going to call hockey games from the court of arena with no roster, no pronunciations, and the names are going to, kids' names are going to be wrong. But you're going to take that gig because it builds experience. You're going to PA announce junior hockey games in front of 10 people because that's the experience you need to get to the next level. And you're going to take every gig you can. You're going to make yourself a niche. You're going to start covering a team that maybe doesn't have enough coverage, right? Look for, I'm going to use the Saskatchewan SWAT before they became junior A here in the city. You know, go cover a team that plays at a high level, that doesn't get enough coverage, and start posting it on your website. Post it on Blue Sky, post it on their website. You know, treat it like it's real, and they're going to treat you so well, and it's going to build your portfolio, and you're just going to work up and up and up. Take, if you're starting out, every gig you can, take every piece of advice you can, and everybody you listen to, every article you read, you can learn from it, right? I often say, outside of one horrendously awful women's hockey play-by-play that me and a friend listened to on the way back from Lloydminster one weekend, I've learned something from every broadcaster I've listened to, whether that's good, whether that's bad, whether it's something to emulate, whether it's something to avoid. I've learned something, and you need to be open to that. And some people are going to hate you in sports broadcasting. There are people that don't like us doing this podcast. There's people that don't like me doing the Rush. There's people that don't like me doing Rattlers, whatever. Accept it. You're not everybody's cup of tea. You're not everybody's malort, right? Now, there's your positive. The negative, you need to accept it's not a full-time job anymore. A career in sports broadcasting or career in sports media doesn't exist anymore.
On this country, at least, no.
No, not in Canada. In the States, even, it's waning, right?
Depends on... I mean, if right. You reach the upper echelons, absolutely, it's there.
Right.
It's there no matter where you are, but I think there is still a bit of a mid-level in the United States, no question.
Right, but that's gone here in Canada, right? The fact that the CFL and TSN is using a guy that they laid off in Dusty Nielsen.
Marshall Ferguson was laid off, too, when Hamilton got shut down.
Exactly. Britt Dort is a freelancer. Like, if you look at the CFL and TSN broadcasts, you've got Rod Smith. Trying to think who else is. Claire Hann is a full-time CFL employee.
TSN, but yeah.
Or, yes, TSN, pardon me. John Liu? Is that,
I haven't seen John Liu this year.
No, I haven't.
I think he's retiring.
Right.
I thought I saw something about that.
So correct me if I'm wrong. The entire CFL and TSN is freelance.
There was someone in Calgary last week, sorry, I forget their name. I'd never really seen her before. I don't remember who she was.
So you've got Claire Hanna, you've got Rod Smith, and everybody else is freelance. So accept that it's going to be a very fun hobby, right? Make sure you, and the positive on the negative is, make sure you find yourself a full-time job that gives you benefits, that pays your bills, that does all these things, but also allows you the flexibility to go do your passion, right? I've said it before, and this is going to be super arrogant. It really is. But I hate these words coming out of my mouth. Like, I don't need the money for my freelance broadcasting to survive. Is it nice? Of course it's nice. It's nice. I can golf more. I can do some things I enjoy. But I don't need the money. But I do it because I love it. And find yourself a full-time job that allows yourself the flexibility to do that. And that is probably my biggest piece of advice. Is just, in Canada, it is a dying thing. So find yourself some stability and some flexibility and follow what you love it best you can.
That may be like the deepest thing you've ever said on this podcast. Like, that was Colin Hodgson level of thought put into an answer of something.
That is, Gaston, that might be the deepest thing I've ever said to you. And you and I have been like so close. You've been my best friend for so many years. And that's probably the deepest thing I've ever said.
Back to the questions we're more used to.
Right. Fairness. And back to, like, it's all downhill from here. Like, mm-hmm. That is the smartest thing I've ever said in a podcast.
Absolutely. You'll figure out who this is from, so I'm not even going to tell you.
Okay.
You're in the Grey Cup.
Okay.
And you're the starting quarterback for your Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Done.
Tied game, fourth quarter, 10 seconds left, ball on the 5-yard line. But yes. You just finished chugging a 6-pack of Lucky Bastard Zero Sugar Iced Tea in the huddle because your offensive coordinator lost a bet and made it a play call requirement. You're completely buzzed, sweating Saskatoon berries, and you have to throw a touchdown or the entire stadium gets sprayed with warm Minhas from a blimp. Do you go for the safe slant route to your star wide receiver, or do you throw to a no-look bomb to the backup tight end who's blackout drunk as well, but he swears he's wide open?
Thanks, Bryce.
For once, it wasn't Greg that asked the long meandering question.
I know, but I love it. As a guy who has played blackout drunk quarterback in a flag football tournament, you don't go with the safe slant. You go to the guy who's, because here's the thing. When the guy's blackout drunk and you're playing football, even though you're blackout drunk as well, nobody's covering the blackout drunk guy. They can tell. He reeks of booze. My biggest thing, I imagine chugging all 6 of those. And, like, I got an iron stomach when it comes to booze, and I can hold my shit. But I just feel like all 6 at once, we'd see a Donovan McNabb moment. Just a little blah. Yeah, backup tight end all day long, and we are scoring that touchdown. We are winning the Grey Cup, and more importantly, we're saving the day. We're saving that stadium from being sprayed from that Minhas bullshit. Yeah, because
like,
that's just
warm Minhas beer on top of that, not just like cold. Oh. Like cold would be bad enough, but warm.
I've sipped it like ice cold, mm-hmm. And my body doesn't reject a lot of booze, but my body rejected it.
Your body knew.
And you've seen what I can do to good beer. So, in fact, as I open up my third double white IPA here,
getting towards the end here, from the commish.
Okay.
Sickos committee.
Yes.
Can you talk about King Louis and all his rouges? If you haven't noticed, yes, we know the Sickos committee and their commish and everyone on the crew, they're obsessed with Louis Pisaglia.
Yes.
Because I guess he has kicked many rouges in his career.
Oh, 100%. Most of which while looking like a 70-star foreign film. So Louis Pisaglia might be one of the last generation of kickers who looks like he hangs out in your neighborhood bar. Like, I feel like him and Troy Westwood, like, they look like a couple guys, like, before kickers are like, yeah, maybe we should, like, also be in shape, right? Like, look at our boy Sergio Castillo. He's out there. He's in shape. You look at Sean White. He's rescuing people. But back in the day,
I feel like you could run into Brett Lawther in a good bar still.
Yeah, he's got a bit of that look to him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, but he's a bit of a throwback. And just like throwback kickers. Sometimes he just forgets how to kick, right? But like, King Louis is like the last generation of guys who was probably huffing darts between halves and just making every field goal and every punt, right? So he is the king because of his rouges. And in fairness, too, he's also played in the era where all points are good. Just like all football is good, all points are good, Kamish. Until we finally figured out, well, maybe we should, like, down this at the 1. So I do love Louis Pasaglia. Never a Lions guy. He never really killed the Bombers in a big game. The Bombers' own kickers did that to themselves.
He played in the air where the Bombers are just terrible.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was like, you're just watching Louis Pasaglia. You're like, woo, I love kickers because there's nothing else to cheer for because our team is dog shit. But no, King Louis will always reign on. I think he runs a construction company in Vancouver now.
I was trying to look up what he's doing. Like, he worked for the team for a while, but it's like seems to be very vague about what he does at this point now. He's apparently a season ticket holder. I've been able to find that.
I mean, it's definitely it might be drugs. I'm kidding, but I also love that his career span from 1976 to 2000, 10 years before I was born.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like he was one of those guys that was like the era of, especially in the CFL, where there was like weird, like weird in a good way.
Yes,
like kickers who were like larger than life when it came to the CFL.
Right,
right. Like there were those guys of that era, and you're like, you can name a bunch of kickers from like the 80s, 90s, and even early 2000s. Then, today it's like, okay, other than Sergio, like in the team you cover, like, or the team you follow, the team you cover, whatever you do, how many other kickers do you think a lot of people can name in the CFL? Right? Like, you had the Louis Pasaglia, you had the Paul McCallums, you had these guys who were like characters that everybody knew. And now it's like, I don't know, these guys come out and kick.
Well, and that's the biggest part of his appeal, right? Like, he came from an era where kicking mattered in the CFL. Like, he was a household name. How many kickers are a household name? Right? Louis Pasaglia was. Justin Tucker was, too, but... boy. Let's
not talk about him anymore, apparently.
That's right. Cleveland Browns legend Justin Tucker.
I mean, they can't make the worst trade in history yet, though, because I think the Ravens have straight up released him. So
they'll still find a way to make a trade for him.
And on a final note... from, of course, our friend of the show, Greg.
Yes.
Because I'll spoil it now. Greg did not ask the long meandering question that swerves at the last second for a change.
Yeah, which is unexpected.
Unexpected, different format. Fits into current conversations these days.
Okay.
With all of the numptiness, please rank the following five in order of increasing numpty. I hope I'm saying that right. I've never actually heard Luke Wilson's tweets out loud to know if that's how I pronounce that word. But anyway.
I think it's close enough.
Probably. N-U-M-P-T-Y. Numpty.
Numpty. Right? Like, yeah, humpty, I go numpty.
That's what I would think, right?
Yeah. Right. Right. Okay.
So you're going to have to remember the five, you're going to have to go back in order. I can, I will send you a screenshot of the five, but I'm not sending them to you until I am done reading most of them.
Okay, done. I got my phone open.
Okay. Number one, Timu, Pat McAfee, Luke Wilson.
Okay, he's five. I'll tell you that right now. I like what Luke is doing. Luke's the bottom of the numpty list.
I have an opinion. I have a very strong opinion on number one, but we'll get to there.
Okay.
Number two, the all-girl power group Wilson Phillips. I don't know what that is.
Anyway. I do love Bridesmaids.
Number three, Wilson, the volleyball from Castaway. Number four, Bart Simpson's catfish of Miss Krabappel, Woodrow Wilson. You're picking up on the theme here, right?
I see the theme now. I'm seeing the theme.
And five, Wilson, Tim Allen's neighbor in the hit ABC sitcom, Home Improvement. And I am sending you that list again in case you need to remember them.
Okay, I'm sorry. I am sorry, Luke Wilson, but I like what you do, but the least numpty of everybody there has to be Tim Allen's neighbor on Home Improvement. I watched Home Improvement growing up.
You're putting him number one?
I'm putting him least numpty. Okay. So five, okay? So he's least numpty because he's just there. He's your neighbor. He's there. Good advice, right? Like,
that's right. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking number one, like the best guy, the best Wilson on this list was him.
So I'm okay.
We're in agreement then. Yes. Okay.
So the I was thinking one would be like
Michael Ball,
and five would be like you.
I understand the wording of it now. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Fantastic. So Wilson is five. Like that dude, always there for Tim. Always giving good advice, no matter the situation, okay? I am going to go Luke Wilson 4. I like what he's doing. He's a little heavy-handed in it, which we discussed while you were gone. I think he's number 4. His heart's in a good place. His approach is a little off, okay? We are going to go... Bart was a scumbag when he did that to Miss Krabappel, too. Like, are we judging Bart? Or are we judging, like for a Wilson, it wasn't bad. We're going to go Wilson Phillips at 3. Great song, one hit wonder. Have you ever watched, I know you don't watch movies. Have you watched Bridesmaids?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, Maya Rudolph shits in a street. It's hilarious. You'll enjoy it. Okay, so I'm going to go Wilson Phillips at 3. Okay. I'm judging Bart based on Woodrow Wilson. So that's a real scummy thing to do, is catfish anybody. Although it does, like, I'm not going to lie, I enjoy watching catfish videos online. Like, not the show, not MTV's Catfish, but, like, Social Catfish. There's YouTubers that break it down. That is my guilty pleasure background watching at work. Okay? Love it. I'm going to go Wilson the Volleyball from Castaway. He's the worst on this list. And the reason is, he abandoned him. Like, he floated. You could have used your secret volleyball powers, let out a little air, boom, go back to Tom Hanks. Instead, you just floated away at the end, right when he needed you. He was depressed, had to go back, see Jodie Foster, new man, totally depressed, no Wilson to dig him out of it. So, Volleyball Wilson, you are the biggest numpty.